Let's go ahead and pray, and then we're going to get right on into it. Heavenly Father, we bless you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, just to meet together, to congregate together in your name. Lord, we thank you that you have just set this church together, Lord. And Lord, we ask that you would do a work in us this morning. We pray, God, that you would have your way in the service, that you would be glorified, that your people, Lord, would be unified upon you. And Lord, we ask, Father, for that anointing, God, upon your word this morning. Lord, that the word would be quick and alive. Lord, that you would touch each and every heart that is here today. I ask, Lord, this morning for that anointing to preach and to teach as you desire. And Lord, we all ask for that anointing, that we can hear and receive everything that the Spirit of God is speaking to us today. And Father, we ask it in the mighty and saving name, the only saving name, in the name of Jesus Christ, everybody says. Amen, amen. In Psalm chapter 32, we're going to be beginning this morning in verse number 8. And I want to tell you something this morning. There is a great need in the body of Christ, and not only in the body of Christ, but there is a great need in the world today for people to be guided by God. Amen. And one of the questions I have for you this morning is, are you guidable? It's one thing for God to give guidance to folks, but it's another thing for you to have a guidable heart, to say, yes, Lord. Amen. A lot of times we get established in our goings. We know what we're supposed to do, and we get in a rut. We get used to certain ways and certain things, and we use common sense instead of listening for the comforting voice of Jesus Christ. Instead of turning to the comforter, we go to common sense oftentimes. But I want to tell you, the hour that we live in, we've got to get away from that. We can no longer rely on common sense in the days that we live in. Deception is on the rise, and I believe that the enemy is using many voices. How many of you know that the wolf comes with sheep's clothing? Amen. And Satan imitates the things of God. And so one of the things that we need to bear in mind in these last days is that we need God's light. We need God's guidance for our life. And in Psalm 32, verse 8, I want you to see God tells you that he will guide you. This is an amazing promise that he says here in verse number 8 and 9. He said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be you not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. How crucial is it in the times that we live in to have discernment? And God here in the Word is promising you, and I don't know what you're going through in your situation of life, but God is promising you that he will guide you in the way that you should go. Amen. You know, I think I know which way I need to go, right? But God's ways are higher than mine, and I want to go where he wants me to go. I don't want to go where I want to go. I made those kind of choices in my life, and I had to repent of them. Amen. I had to repent of going my own way and doing my own thing and being self-guided. I got myself in so many binds and I got myself in sin. Had it not been for that old rugged cross, I'd still be there today. But praise God for the cross. Amen. But now that we're in this life with God, now that we're in this walk with Christ Jesus, one of the things that we have to do is to be guided by him in the way that we should go. I talk to many believers and many Christians around, and a lot of them have an idea of the way they want to go. They know what they want to do. They have an object in mind, and how many of you know we can always find a way to justify it? I want you to know even Judas found a way to justify betraying Jesus. And if you've got a determination in your mind that you want to do a certain thing, you will twist, you will cut, you will pry, and you will find a way to justify going the way that you want to go. If it's not betraying Jesus, it may be sleeping with someone else's spouse. It may be stealing money from the church. It may be stealing money from a bank. A lot of people can use a lot of justification. Amen. But you know what? If you're guided by God, you don't have to justify yourself. God will justify you. If you'll go the way that God tells you to go, you don't have to worry about explaining yourself to other people. You don't have to feel guilty about it. You don't have to wonder about it. Amen. But God has a way that he wants you to go. And it's so important that we get our hearts knit to the Lord Jesus. It's so important that we spend time in prayer, that we fast, that we pray, that we cry out to God, that we wait on His voice. Amen? Word of God here says, immediately after this instruction, that God will not only instruct you, He will not only teach you, but He will guide you. The verse next behind it, He said, don't be like the horse and don't be like the mule. I don't know if you've ever been around animals like that, but the horse goes where he wants to go. Amen? And he goes as fast as he wants to go. But I don't know about the mule. That mule, you can't make it do anything. You can pull as much as you want to pull on a mule, but if he don't want to go, he ain't going to go. He's very stubborn, and he won't do what he don't want to do. Amen? How many Christians are like that? Some are like that horse, and I mean, they'll just jump off the cliff. They'll run. Whew. And some of them are like that mule. And I mean, they won't do nothing. They will just hang back, sit back. They're comfortable. They've got in their rut. Their rut is comfortable. They've acclimated themselves to the rut. Amen. We're not walking in the promises of God. We're not walking in victory over sin. We're not sharing the gospel. We don't have the light flowing through us. We're comfortable in our rut, and we're acclimated to it. And you let somebody come up to you and tell you, hey, God's got a better plan for your life. You say, leave my rut alone. I'll go to a different church where they don't disturb my rut. My rut's comfortable. Nobody pressures me to pray. Nobody pressures me to live a holy life. But you know what? The Word of God says to pray without ceasing. The Word of God says to follow peace, and without holiness, no man will see the Lord. Amen. That's not a church's doctrine. That's God's doctrine. It comes straight from His Word. And one of the things that we see in this passage is that God is likening so many of His children to horses and mules. Amen. I see in this passage, I see three. I see the horses and I see mules. And then in my mind, I always go back to David, the man after God's own heart. Sometimes I believe he operated like the horse, sometimes like the mule, but he always came back to that place to where he was seeking the heart of God. You know, and I want to encourage you this morning that a lot of times we can go our own way and do our own thing, and we make a mess. How many of you know, now you don't have to look at your neighbor, right? But how many of you know people that make a mess out of life? Right? How many of you willing to say, I've made a mess out of my life before? I believe God wants to show you a few things in the Word of God this morning to help you in that area so that you don't make a bigger mess. Amen? So that you can walk clean, so that you can walk straight. Because I want to tell you something this morning. Not only does God just want you to obey Him, God wants you to know Him. God wants you to walk in fellowship and in union with Him. It's not about you just walking obedient to the letter of the law. It is about you knowing the God that created you. That you having the honor to walk with Him through this life, to know Him in an intimate way, that Christ would be alive in you, that you would no longer go on your own way and do your own thing, but from this point forward, you would go as God tells you to go. Not only would you go where He tells you to go, but He would go with you. That He would be with you. Amen? Sometimes we make a mess of things. And it's dangerous in the hour that we live in to make a mess. One of the things I want to show you in the Word of God this morning is about a man named Amasa. Amasa made a mess out of his life. I don't know if you remember him in the Word of God. He's kind of brief. He's in 2 Samuel. We're going to touch on it. But Amasa made a mess out of his life. And he was in a rut so long, and he did his own thing, and he was self-guided so long that it cost his life. Cost him his life. There's three very distinguishable marks about Amasa's mess that he made. And I hope and pray that we don't follow in those same steps, that we're not willing to just kind of sit in our own rut and get in our own way and find ourselves destroyed upon that day. If you will, turn in the Word of God with me to 2 Samuel chapter 17. I want to show you something about Amasa here. Amasa had an opportunity to be used in the kingdom of God, and so do you. You have an opportunity to be useful for the king. God has a plan and a purpose for you, and it's not to ride the pine. I don't know if you know sports references, but that's the bench. God's plan and purpose is for you to not get comfortable on the pew. Amen? God wants to light a fire in you so that you can be useful for the kingdom of God, so that you can stand in the gap for your children, so that you can stand in the gap for your marriage, so that you can stand in the gap for the lost souls around you, so that God can use you to bring light to those that are in dark places. God wants to use you in a great and a powerful way. Amasa had an opportunity to be useful in the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know if you remember Absalom. How many of you remember Absalom? He was King Solomon's son. He was, the word of God says, he was the most beautiful in all the land. There was no flaw in this man. He was tall. He was handsome. He looked the part. How many of you know he looked the part? Right? He looked the part, but he didn't have the part yet because his dad was still the king. And one of the things that Absalom did is he began to manipulate the people of God, and he began to divide their heart from the king. And at one point, he took the whole kingdom away from David. He won a lot of the people's hearts, but there was still a remnant that was with David. And everybody had to make a choice. Are you going to go with Absalom, the one that looks the part, the one that talks so good and is so pretty? Or are you going to stay with God's man, David, the one that's after God's own heart, the one that writes these psalms, the one that cries out to God? Which way are you going to go? And Amasa chose the wrong king. The first mistake that he made in his life is at one point he's in the house of David and he's serving in the kingdom of God, but he chooses to go with Absalom. And I see that a lot of times people, they have a desire to serve God, but they choose the wrong king. This is one of the first and greatest ways that you can mess up. You see, a lot of times, if you'll read with me in verse 25, I'll show you what I'm talking about. It says, "And Absalom made Amasa captain of the host instead of Joab," which... Amasa was a man's son whose name was Ithrah, an Israelite that went into Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister to Zariah, Joab's mother. In other words, this is David's nephew down the line. But he had an opportunity to serve in David's cabinet, and he did for a long time. But if you'll notice up in verse 22, there was the division, and David arose and he went over the Jordan. And the group of people that were with David went over the Jordan and into exile, and Absalom stayed in the palace. He was not supposed to be there. He just seized it. He was a usurper of authority, but he looked the part. And a lot of times what I believe happens is people are careless and they're worldly, and in key moments, they'll choose the world over God. And in the key moments of life, they'll choose the world over God. You see, there's not many moments like that that happens. This is a crucial moment. This doesn't happen every day. Not every day does the king cross over Jordan with his group and go into exile, and you have to make a choice. You have to make a choice to stay in your place of comfort. You have to make a choice to stay in the palace, to stay in the place where you have the title, to stay in the place where you have all of the benefits of the palace, or to go where David goes, across the Jordan and into exile. You see, there were a few people that were willing to be humiliated, that were willing to stand by David, that were willing to go with him, like Joab and some of these mighty men of valor, that were willing to go and risk everything to stay with the man of God. But Amasa, he made a mess of things. He chose the wrong king. It was in a moment of time that he chose to do this. A lot of people are more tied to a position than to the things of God. One of the things that happens that you see here is that in this key moment, we have to make a decision to humble ourselves. We have to make a decision to humble ourselves and go where the Lord tells us to go. Many people in life, they would rather have the worldly titles. They would rather have the worldly goods, the worldly fame. They would rather things look right on the outside than the way God tells them to go. How many of you know sometimes God will tell you to go a way that don't make sense to the natural mind? Sometimes God will tell you to do things that don't make sense in a worldly manner. Maybe you take a job that is lesser pay, but it gives you the ability to be with your children. Maybe it's those opportunities where you have an opportunity to go do something, but God says, don't do that. I want you to go and I want you to pray. See, on the outside, so there are certain things that look right to the world, but when God moves upon your heart, He'll cause you to go against the grain. You know, the very definition of repentance is turning from the world's way of doing thing and turning to God's way of doing thing. It's just turning about. It's just saying, you know what? God's way is different than the world, and I'm going to do things God's way. That's going against the grain. And if you're going to follow God, and if you're going to choose the King in every situation, there are times that you're going to have to go against the grain. Amen? Do you have the guts? Do you have the faith? Do you have that in you to say, you know what? I'm gonna go against the grain no matter the cost. I'm going to follow Jesus. Even if everybody walks away from me, even if the world walks away from me, even if no one else is following the Lord, I'm bound, I'm determined, and I'm going to go for broke for Jesus. Amen. You know, Jesus, as He walked upon the earth, He was scorned. He was made fun of. He was mocked. He was crucified. He was humiliated upon the cross. They plucked out His beard. They hit Him. They spit on Him. They put that crown of thorns on His head. And in the natural eye, that don't look like the King, but that was the most kingly thing that God did. I mean, He bore our sin. He bore our trespasses. Had the Lamb of God not shed that blood, how lost would we be? But the King did something against the grain. And as the world was mocking, He was reconciling. As the world was ridiculing, God was reuniting man to Himself. Amen? He went against the grain. And you're going to have to make those choices in your life to go against the grain, to stay with the shepherd. Amen. There's two other places I want to show you. These two places are in 2 Samuel. If you want to turn with me to the next book, to the next chapter, 2 Samuel chapter number 20. Two more mistakes that Amasa made. Now, if you chose Absalom instead of David, and then Absalom dies, David comes back to the throne, don't you think you might be worried about your life? In that moment, you chose the wrong king. The wrong king is killed, and the rightful king comes back. Now, that's the time where you take a big gulp. Amen. And you say, oh, no. Amasa, at that point in time, he had an opportunity to be killed, but David chose not to kill him. He says, I want to show you this. It says here in verse number 4, then said the king to Amasa, assemble me the men of Judah within 3 days, and be thou here present. Listen to this. David brought him back into the palace. David brought him back into the host of the Lord's army. David brought him back to his same position. David showed this man great grace. David, how many of you have received God's grace? David brought him back and David showed him great grace. And I want to show you what he does with it. He squanders it. He squanders it. And a lot of people in the church of God today have squandered the grace of God. God's given them so much grace. God's given them an opportunity. God's given them an opportunity to know Him, to commune with Him. And yet they squander the grace of God. One of the saddest ways that you can squander the grace of God is to disobey God. It says in verse number 5, so Amasa went to assemble the men of Judah, but he tarried longer than the set time which he had appointed him. In other words, Amasa was careless. He was careless. He was derelict in his duty. See, David gave this man his job back after David took the throne back. David gave him that ability to assemble the men. We're going back to war. Amasa, you've messed up, but I forgive you. I'm going to put you right back where you were. Now I want you to get everybody ready, and let's meet back in 3 days. 3 days go by, and Amasa's still not there. Oh, you know how many times God probably looks at us like that? God says, I want you to pray. I want you to pray and come back in an hour. And in an hour, you're still not there. Where'd you go? What's going on? I want you to do this. I want you to go here. And we go there. We're not willing to be guided by God. We're not willing to be instructed by God. And here Amasa was not willing to be guided by God. He was not willing to be instructed by God. He went where he wanted to go and he did what he wanted to do. That's why he wasn't back on the appointed day. And how many believers at this point in their walk with God, they've received grace upon grace. They've received God's mercy upon mercy. God's given us, and I want you to know, God's the God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances. You got breath in your body. You got a chance, somebody. Amen. But God gave this man another chance, and in that chance, this man chose poorly yet again. He chose poorly. He was derelict in his duty. You know, delayed obedience is disobedience. Right? I tell my kids, hey, clean your room. I don't mean next week. Right? I remember one time my dad said, hey, go cut the grass. I didn't cut the grass. I got a whooping. He didn't mean next week. He meant now. Right? No, I'm going to get to it. I'm going to get to it. I promise you I'm going to get to it. No, that don't work. That don't work. When the Lord asks you to do something, you obey the Lord, right? Delayed obedience is disobedience. God's not giving us options here. God tells us to forgive. God tells us to love. Amen. God tells us to share the gospel, to preach the word. God tells us to have faith. God tells us to endure to the end. These are commands. These are not suggestions. These are not, hey, if it fits your way, obey. But if not, go your own way. That's not how God is. In fact, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. He said, if you love him, you will obey him. That's in John chapter 15. That's part of abiding in the vine. I know every Christian that I talk to, they all say that they abide in the vine. But in that chapter right there, Jesus said, if you love me, if you're abiding in me, if you love me, obey my commandments. And so many times we obey casually. How many of you know that some of us, we obey the easy ones? Come on. Now, I'm not going to make any suggestions up in this church, but I would love to believe there's no just outright cold-blooded murderers up in here. And so that might be an easy one for you. Thou shalt not murder. Hallelujah. Woo, let's shout. We got that one down. We good with God. But then God says, thou shalt not look upon a woman with lust in your heart. Well, we don't know about that one. You know, that, you know, God knows my heart. That should scare you. God knows what's going on in that heart. That should scare you. That should drive you to these altars. That should drive you to your knees. God knows me. Ooh, I got to get to that altar. But you see, sometimes we have this false reality where we say, you know what, I can obey those big ones. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not steal. Maybe from a bank, right? We never stole from a bank with just the pen at work. Oh, God meant in total, don't steal. Oh, well, let's take that one off. You see, the reality is a lot of times in our life, we can give ourselves false assurance by delayed obedience or partial obedience and hanging our hat on the fact that there's certain portions of this thing that we've got right, but other portions we'll work on it later. Oh, I don't know about you, but God's ready for us to get right today. Doesn't the Word of God say that today's a day of salvation? Today's a day for us to receive the good news? Amen? To be reconciled to God and to be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb and to be made righteous by our faith in Him. One of the things that we see in the Word of God here is a definite case of partial obedience. Now, I want to show you something. Keep your finger there or your ribbon, and I want to take you over to James chapter 2. Let's travel over to the New Testament, James chapter number 2. Let me show you something over here. There's a lot of people, you know, when you begin to talk about obedience and the law, you begin to talk about these things, rationalization sets in. We will rationalize ourselves all the way up to being an apostle. But rather than rationalize ourselves, I'd rather be reconciled to God. Amen. Don't make excuses for yourself. Be reconciled to God and let God handle those things. The one of the things that I want to show you here in verse number 10, James chapter 2, verse 10, look at this. It says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of a smudge." James 2, verse 10. Does it not say smudge? Oh, does it not say speck? What does it say if you break one little teeny tiny law? Like, thou shalt not lie. It doesn't say white lie, black lie. All lies matter to God. He said that no liar will inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. That's a work of the flesh as much as murder is. And the Bible here is telling us how high the bar is to get into the kingdom. That you can keep the law in every point. Maybe you're not a murderer. Maybe you're not a rapist. Maybe you're like Job and you keep your eyes pure. But maybe you're a liar. Well, Pastor, don't call me a liar. Well, how many times you got to tell a lie to be a liar? How many times you got to murder somebody before the law calls you a murderer? Right? How many times you got to steal a pen from work before they call you a thief? It's just one pen. Well, you're a thief. Pastor, why are you making us feel bad? We're dealing with reality. The reality is we've all sinned, we've all come short of the glory of God, and we all need Jesus. We all need a Savior. From Mary to Martha, we've all needed a Savior. The only person that ever walked the earth in flesh that didn't need a Savior was the Savior, Jesus. But I want you to see something here. A lot of times we can rationalize within ourselves, and I believe that's what Amasa did. He had this job back. He got it back. And he was going to get around to obeying David when he felt like it. Some of us, we like, I'm going to get around to getting these things right when I feel like it. But I've got to get a few things done. I can't do all those things right now. Well, this foolish decision that Amasa made a mess of his life even more. And in your life, it's the same way. Delayed obedience or partial obedience is very costly in the kingdom of God, because God's desire is that you would obey Him, that you would know Him, that you would walk in union with Him. Let me show you something else in the book of 1 John chapter number 1, just a few pages forward. A lot of people, they say, you know, I'm going to get around to doing the right thing. Let me show you 1 John chapter 2. Look with me in chapter 2. Verse number 3. And hereby we do know that we know Him. Stop. Full stop. How do you know that you know Jesus? Oh, I got a feeling. Well, I got a feeling too. But that's not how I know. It says, hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. If we keep His commandments. Next verse. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Wow, that's powerful. That'll preach. That'll mess with your world. But there has to be this desire on our hearts to obey God in everything, thought, word, and deed. From our minds to our mouths to our actions, God is looking at us. He is surveying us. He sees into our lives. He knows what's in our hearts, and he's calling us to walk in obedience to him. How great is our need for him? How great is our need for our Savior? How great is our need for the blood of the Lamb? How great is our need for the influence of the Holy Ghost? How great is our need for God to do a work in us? Because if we're left to our own, we're going to make a mess out of our life. Just like Amasa did. First thing he did, he chose the wrong king. He chose the palace over God's man. He chose the easy road. A lot of people, they choose the easy road. It's easier to do certain things than to take a stand for God. If you've ever took a stand for God, you know the world's going to throw a tomato. If you never had a tomato, throw it at you in the name of Jesus. You need to stand up and be accounted in these days. It's a badge of honor to be flipped off for the name of Jesus. That's just yet another crown we get to throw down at his feet. Amen? Let them say what they need to say, but we've got to do what we've got to do. The word of God here is so clear. It says, if you say that you know him, but you keep not his commandments, you're a liar, and the truth is not in you. Wow, that's powerful stuff. That's not pleasing. Doesn't get a lot of amens up in the church. But the word of God is true from the front to the back. Amen? From the table of contents to the maps, I believe it's all good. Amen. Let God's word be true and every man a liar, right? So we have to make a choice within ourselves that we're going to set our heart upon God. And as I shared with you in Psalm 32, are you guidable? Can God guide you? Because God can guide you. But are you guidable? Are you willing to have a heart to follow his leading? Are you willing to be corrected? Are you willing to be teachable in these days? You know how many people, it's so heartbreaking when I see them going a wrong direction, but they don't have a teachable heart. Brother, hadn't seen you in a while. So many people, they don't have a teachable heart, but that's one of the things that God looks for the most, is that we're willing to humble ourselves, that we're willing to receive correction, that we're willing to receive guidance, that we're willing to be taught by the voice and the hand of God, that we're willing to go where he says to go. Amasa, like I said, he made a mess of these things. One last thing. Let me just summarize this. Don't rationalize your goodness because you obey 9 of the 10 commandments. Go for God. Don't settle for less. Say, Lord, if there's anything in me that is not right with you, if there's any speck in me, if there's any wavering, if there's anything false, if there's anything that's not of you, God, show me. Show me, Lord, and I don't want it. I'm willing to lay it down on this altar. I'm willing to let go of it. If it's my pride, if I won't apologize, if it's my lack of faith in whatever area, so it's causing me to be a thief, if it's because I don't have confidence and trust in you, so it's making me be a liar, if it's because of anything in me, Lord, whatever it is, show me, and I'm willing to lay it down. I'm willing to confess my sins. I'm willing to repent, Lord. That's the heart that God's looking for. That's the heart of David. See, David wasn't perfect in all his ways, was he? How would you like for your sins to be put in the Word of God for every human to read? Oh, man. David sinned royally. Amen. But yet he came broken before God. And he repented. And he repented. And he repented, he was contrite over his sins, he knew who his Savior was, and he didn't run from God, he ran to God. And he said, I messed up. And God restored him. Amen. That's why David was a man after God's own heart. And I want you to know, that's what God wants in you. Sure, God wants your complete obedience every day of your life, but God wants you to desire to be right with him. to know that he'll receive you back, to come broken before the cross, to come broken before the Lamb of God, to have a contrite heart, to be broken in spirit, and to allow God to mend you, heal you, cleanse you, and make you new. That's what God's looking for in his children. Amen? And if we don't have that kind of heart, we're going to make a mess out of life. We're going to get entrenched in the wrong direction. How many of you have been going the wrong direction and you got entrenched in it? Sometimes we go the wrong direction and we got so much pride, we're not willing to tell anybody we made a bad decision. Amen. We just keep marching and keep going and we just keep going with it, knowing in our heart we made a wrong decision. But I love what David did. Once he realized he made a wrong choice, he repented. He repented. Have a heart like that. Get a heart for God. God wants the best for you. Amen. God don't want to expose you and shame you. God wants to reconcile you. God wants to cleanse you. He wants to set you back on solid ground. God wants to put you back in his pasture. Amen. Don't be wandering out on your own anymore. Now, I told you to keep your finger over there in 2 Samuel. I want to go back to Amasa, this third position, this third decision that he made. Let's turn back over here to 2 Samuel chapter number 2. Chapter number 20, same chapter we were in. This one, a lot of people make this mistake. First mistake Amasa made was choosing the wrong king. Second mistake, he didn't obey the king. Third mistake, verse 9 and 10, he brought the wrong people into his life. You know how many people make this same mistake? I mean, they want to do the right thing. Maybe they've messed up a little. Maybe they've done this. But don't you know that the Word of God says that a little bit of leaven will leaven the whole lump? Amen? How could two walk together unless they be agreed? God, it matters to God who we join up with and who we allow into our lives. It matters to God. It matters greatly to God. Amasa made a huge mess out of his life in verse number 9. Joab is the man that he took his job. Now, I don't know if you know a lot about Joab. Maybe you can do a Bible study on him. He's probably one of the most bloody men in the Word of God. That man had no fear about taking anybody's life at any time. He was a mighty man. He killed a lot of God's enemies, but he shed a lot of blood, especially in the kingdom. Joab had his eyes on Amasa. Why? Amasa had chose the wrong king, and Joab took exception to it. Amasa didn't go with them when they went across the Jordan and they were humiliated. Amasa stayed in the palace with the pretty boy. And now they come back into the kingdom, and Amasa still has the same job, and Joab's got his eyes on him. Joab walks up to him. Joab said to Amasa, "Art thou in health, my brother?" And Joab took Amasa by the beard with the right hand to kiss him. It's like us saying, "Hey, brother, how you doing?" and putting your arm around them. See, how many believers today have an evil influence putting their arm around them? "How you doing? Good to see you. So glad you've come." See, when the world talks good about you, that's a problem. When the world talks good about you. And you see, Amasa didn't have the wherewithal. He didn't have the discernment. He didn't have guidance from God. And Joab had bad intentions. And Joab comes up and "Hey, are you in good health? Good to see you. You look good." You get the world doing you like that, you in trouble. Amen? You get the world doing that to you, you in trouble. How many times do we enjoin ourselves to people that mean harm? You know what that means? That means that we need discernment. We have to come to that place to where we realize we don't know it all. Where we have to come to that place and we say, "Lord, I need you to show me. I need you to reveal to me." Because with the naked eye, with the natural eye, with the eye of common sense, this looks good. The world loves me. But the world hated Jesus. There's a problem. You go read John 7:7. Jesus said, if the world hate you, no, it hated him first. The world didn't love Jesus. You should be more like Jesus. Really? The world hated Jesus. If you truly living like Jesus, the world will hate you. Go read it, John 7:7. But a lot of people, they have this false idea, and when the world begins to throw these accolades on them, you know what we do? We let down our guard. We let down our guard. We love the applause of men. We love the adoration of the world. We forget it'd be better off to have the adoration of heaven. I would rather have the smile of the Father than the smile of the world. And I don't reckon we can have both. Not until the millennium. I don't believe the world's ever going to smile and God smile at the same time. Choose this day whom you'll serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the King. We're going to serve the Lord. But Amasa, as I've showed you, he made a series of bad choices. He made three huge critical mistakes. And I see these same mistakes in a lot of people's lives. And God doesn't want that for us today. But it says in verse number 10, but Amasa took no heed to the sword that was in Joab's hand. So he smote him therewith in the fifth rib and shed out his bowels to the ground and struck him not again, and he died. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, pursued after Sheba, the son of Bichri. What happened here? The reality is that Amasa's bad decision cost his life. He let down his guard. He had no Holy Ghost discernment. He had no wisdom from God. He wasn't being guided by God. He was going where he wanted when it made sense. He did what he wanted when it made sense. And he allowed Joab, who had blood thirst, into his life. Do you know that the enemy has a blood thirst for your soul? He doesn't come to play around with you. The Bible says that the enemy, he walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may play with. Oh, yeah, y'all got the good version. It doesn't say the enemy walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he can play with. It says seeking whom he may devour. And so Amasa didn't realize there was a devouring about to happen. Is there a devouring about to happen in your life because you've allowed the wrong influences in? Oh, no. I know when things are bad. Really? That's the first sign you don't know. Because it's not with the natural eye. You have to have the eye of God. You have to have the discernment of the Holy Ghost. God sees past the way things appear on the outside. And oh, how much we need this in the last days. Do you know that when the Antichrist rises up, there's going to be a lot of religious folks that say, hey, we should do what he says to do. It's for our best interest. They will lack Holy Ghost discernment. Holy Ghost will be gone. He that letteth will let till he's taken out the way. Then shall that wicked one be revealed. And when that Antichrist rises up and he begins to mislead people, there will be many religious folks that'll go that direction because they won't operate in Holy Ghost guidance, but they will operate in common sense. I want to tell you, in those last days, it'll make a lot of common sense to take the mark of the beast. Doesn't it make common sense? Hey, I'm not going to be able to eat. I'm not going to be able to buy any goods. I'm not going to be able to do anything. Can't pay Swebco. Can't go to Brookshire's. Can't get gas in my truck. My kids got to eat. I'm getting hungry. I've held out for about 4 days, but I'm about to starve to death. Makes a lot of common sense. But common sense is what cost Amasa his life. And common sense will cost many people their lives. Common sense will cost many people their lives. There's a story, I don't know if you remember who Paul Harvey was, but he told a story about a Civil War soldier. He thought he was going to outsmart everybody. You know, it's not good when you think you're going to outsmart everybody. But what he did, I believe it was the North, they wore the blue, and the South, they wore the gray. This man chose a blue shirt and gray pants. Right in the middle. Does that not sound like a lot of Christians? They got the church tie on, but the pants are for the world. Sunday's for God, but Friday's, you know, got to let loose. Got to release my stress. I mean, they got blue and gray on. Did you know what happened? Paul Harvey, he said that in this story with the Civil War soldier, he wore the blue shirt, the gray pants. He went out into the battle, and guess what? He got shot from both sides. He got shot in the front and the back. And you know how many times Christians make a wreck of their life like Amasa did? Because they won't go with God. I love the way Brother Raymond puts it. They won't go broke for God. I mean, if you're going to go for God, go for broke. Amen. I remember whenever God saved me, I said, Lord, I don't care if I'm the last one in. If I'm the one sweeping the street of gold, I don't care. If I'm the last one in, just let me in. That's all I care about. I don't care about crowns or titles or seats of authority. I don't care about none of that. I just want to get in. I'm just so thankful that I don't have to perish in hell because I know that's what I deserve. Oh, but then, you know, along the way, people get so mixed up. And they begin to wear the shirt for Jesus and the pants for the world. They begin to live a double life. They begin to go this way and that way. You see, Amasa, he had partial obedience down. David said, go get the army, come back in 3 days. He went, but he didn't come back. He had the shirt for David, but the pants for himself, for the world. How amazing is it that in our life we see the same thing? If the Holy Ghost showed us a mirror, where is it in our life that we're wearing the uniform of God in some places, but the uniform for the world in others? Where does our allegiance lie? It matters to God. Amasa made a grave mistake 3 times because his allegiance was not to God. And that last time, it cost him his life. Now, I'm here to tell you today that we live in a day and an age of grace. Amen. I don't call it the dispensation of grace. I call it the dispensation of the Holy Ghost. It's from Pentecost. We're still rolling with the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost dispensation. But there is grace available for you. If you've messed up, if you've got shortcomings, if you failed God, there's grace to come back to God, to be reconciled to God, to be cleansed, and to be filled by the Spirit of God, and to go out in the name of Jesus. There is power when you come and humble yourself before God that God has available to do what He needs to do in you. But what rung of the ladder are you on? See, Amasa made 3 bad choices and it cost him his life. Are you on the first? Are you on the second? Or could you be headed for the third? And that's what I want to tell you. It matters. Your soul matters to God. Your allegiance to Jesus matters. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 in closing. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 14. I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to God after I read this verse. But I want you to know that allowing things into your heart that don't belong will cost you. It'll cost you. It says in verse number 14, 2 Corinthians 6, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? What concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? In what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, walk in them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Listen to this. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you. You will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. I want you to see that God's saying, you know what? Make your decision for him. Come out from among them. Look, if you're in a place in any area of your life where you've got the blue shirt on but the gray pants on, come out from among them. Stop being unequally yoked. Stop having on the shirt of God but the pants of the world. Come out from among them and come to God. And he said that he will receive you when you come to him. He will receive you and he will be a father to you. And you will be a son or a daughter to him. Listen, you can't be yoked with the ungodly things of life and expect to do and go and be who God's called you to be. If you're going to be for God, be for God. If you're going to be for the world, be for the world. But don't be caught. And look, one more time. Don't do this whole, well, I'm not a bank robber. I'm for God. I'm not a bank robber. Because God said, if you obey all the letter of the law, but you miss the mark in one point. Man. Lord, if there's any area in my life, God, where I need you, show me. And I'm going to come to you. I'm going to come to you. And he said, when you do that, he'll receive you. He'll receive you. I want to tell you something this morning in closing. All of us have sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God, but today's a day of salvation. Today's a day to be reconciled to God. Today's a day to say, Lord, search my heart. Try me, God. See if there be any wicked way in me. And if there is, I will come to you. I will humble myself before you. I will go where you tell me to go. I will live how you tell me to live. I'll be who you tell me to be. Will you be the horse or the mule? Will you be like Amasa? Go where you want to go? See, Amasa needed a bit and a bridle, didn't he? But he went where he wanted to go, did what he wanted to do. But will you be guided by God? That's the choice God wants you to make today. Amen. Father, we thank you for this morning, this opportunity to hear the word of God. Lord, I thank you for every person here today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the grace that is available for us. Lord, that we can come to you, be restored. We can come to you, Lord, and be cleansed. Lord, we can come to you, Lord. And the purpose and the plan that you have for our life can be birthed afresh. Lord, I thank you that you do new things. If there's any person here today, God's speaking to you as I preach this word this morning, I want to pray for you before we open the altar. If you would, just raise your hand. If you're here and God's speaking to you, I want to pray for you right where you're seated. Just raise your hand. Thank you, 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 thank you. Anybody else, raise your hand. Thank you. Heavenly Father, you see the hands lifted today. Lord, you know what we're going through. God, our desire is you. By lifting our hands, Lord, we're recognizing our need for you. We have a great need for a great God. And Lord, we're admitting that we need you this morning. I pray, God, whatever the situation is and the hands that were lifted, Lord, that you would move the mountains. that you would restore and repair the breach. God, that you would mend the broken places and open the blind eyes. And Lord, I pray, God, Lord, that you would do a miracle in their life today. Father, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. This morning, we're going to open up our altars and allow you an opportunity to come and pray at these altars. Always say, Jesus is your high priest. This is a place where you can pour your heart out before Jesus. If you want me to pray with you, I'll meet you in the middle. If you've never been saved and God's dealing with your life and you want to make that profession of faith today, I'll meet you in the middle. If you need prayer for anything, you can call on us. We'll pray for you up here. But we want to open up these altars right now. Anybody that just wants to come and just lay down their burden before God, come to these altars and have a moment with the Lord today.